You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from our Pawn Plaza studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. This is Vincent Rotolo of the Foodie 411, your guide to Las Vegas off-strip culinary events, destinations, activations, and restaurants. So what's interesting about this type of year, it's the fall season upon us in Las Vegas. October is one of the best months of the year. If you're on the road and you're heading into Las Vegas, big Halloween events coming up. And we're going to get into some more of that next week. Today's show, Eric Gladstone. He's one of the most influential publicists and consultant and restaurant all around mover and shaker coming through here. Justin Kingsley Hall, executive chef of the Kitchen at Atomic and creator of Whiskey in the Wilderness. Justin's going to be coming out in a little while. And, of course, the hottest, arguably one of the hottest restaurants in town, Esther's Kitchen. Chef and owner James Trees from Esther's Kitchen will be here to talk about some of his hot projects coming up. He's opening a few more places, and we're going to let everybody know what's going on with that. So, it's October. It's the fall season. It's Las Vegas. And you might be coming to town thinking, where am I going to go eat, right, in Vegas? If you want to go to the Strip, you're going to spend probably 3.7 times more. Actually, that was data done. There was some data released by the LasVegas.com. And there's just go on LasVegas.com, and you can kind of look at data. A meal on the Strip costs 3.7 times more than an off-strip meal. And it's interesting because the value of the dining experience is as good or better. It's arguably more authentic. You don't have what some people may refer to as the suits. Other people call them the bean counters or the corporate entities and the guys sitting in offices looking at spreadsheets saying that everybody wants to eat salmon, chicken, and et cetera, et cetera. You don't have that idea. That mentality is not coming in to the culinary creative process. People are cooking from their hearts, from their souls. The chefs that are coming on the show today are these types of chefs. They source the freshest ingredients. They're following the inspiration that they've had from people they've worked with or places they've been, and they're turning it into delicious food. And again, Justin Kingsley Hall, James Trees, and Eric Gladstone coming out in just a couple minutes. Before we get to that, right, let's just talk about Facebook events, because that's how I kind of stay in touch with what's going on in the event scene, guys. And I'm sorry, fortunately for me, I'm a restaurant owner. I own Good Pie here at Pawn Plaza. Good Pie just recently won Best Slice in Las Vegas. So thank you, Las Vegas Weekly, and all our supporters of Good Pie. It's a Brooklyn-style pizza shop, and it really has the community, the neighborhood pizza shop feel and vibe. It's something that was really important to us to create. And so I'm always seeking out events downtown and off the Strip and see what's going on. Let's see what we got here. November 13th at 6 p.m. downtown at the Kitchen at Atomic, Big Dog Brewery will be celebrating 25 years of brewing beer in Las Vegas. That's Tuesday, November 13th. You can get tickets. Look at the Facebook page for Big Dog Brewery. And, you know, the beer community in Las Vegas is really exploding. And Big Dogs was one of the OGs that started that trend back 25 years ago. So congratulations to Big Dog Brewery on 25 years of brewing beer here in Las Vegas. What else is going on in the world? Oh, the Caputo Cup Championships were last week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And here's what's going on in the Las Vegas scene nationally, right? Michael Vaknin of Pop-Up Pizza came in fifth place in the international competition. Guys, that's fifth place in the world. Pop-Up Pizza, downtown. Look that pizza shop up. Michael Vaknin, a rising star on the pizza scene nationally, just took fifth place. Chris Decker of Metro Pizza took third place in the nation, guys. Third place in the non-traditional pizza division at the Caputo Cup. So here you have two top five guys in the country making pizza in Las Vegas, Michael Vaknin and Chris Decker. Congratulations to those guys for bringing those big awards back here to Vegas. And please go out and support and try those guys out. Also, what else is happening in the news of Vegas restaurants? Oh, yeah, look at this. On Saturday, the 20th of October, the Downtown Brewfest by Motley Brews is going on. Over 250 beers that you can try. Five food vendors, including Good Pie. I'll be there in the pizza truck cooking wood-fired pizza. We'll have a cheese pizza, pepperoni pizza. We're going to have a meat lover pizza, a white pizza, and all you vegans, you know I love the vegans. There'll be a vegan pizza at the Downtown Brewfest. Compliments of Good Pie. Vincent Rotolo making pizza on the wood-fired truck. So that's going on. Tickets available. This event may be sold out. So if you're just getting this info, get onto Motley Brew's Facebook page. Look at Motley Brews and the Downtown Brewfest and come out and support all of the, not just local Las Vegas breweries. I think there are eight breweries currently brewing in Las Vegas, which is, and I think in a year that could be 28, because it's a melting pot for brewers and beer makers coming to Vegas. So if you want to get a taste of what it's like to just try all these regional beers, California, Utah, right, Oregon, Vegas, Downtown Brewfest is the place to be if you're into that. So that's what's going on my Facebook events page. Okay. You can add me as a friend, but I think I might have reached the limit, guys. So I'm sorry. I don't read all the Facebook messages, but the events in Vegas are on Facebook. It's awesome. What does Eater.com have to say? Eater, they just released. It was updated October 11th. So as of October 11th, this is the latest from Eater.com in the essential Las Vegas restaurants for fall. So this is your guide to the best restaurants in Las Vegas for any dining option, right? This is sushi, right? Steakhouse, neighborhood restaurant, pizza, right? Whatever your food, tacos, right? American classics, whether it's Carson Kitchen or, you know, the local pizza shop. This is everyone included, and these are the best options as of October 11th. So let's see number one. Pizza Rock. Again, pizza keeps coming up. It's not just because I'm a pizza guy. It's what's happening. Pizza Rock, number one. Flock and Fowl, number two. Flock and Fowl, the most amazing chicken can be found at Sheridan Sue's casual restaurant, Flock and Fowl. You can order the Hanoi chicken rice with the Mary's free-range chicken in a ginger scallion sauce. So Flock and Fowl, that's over on 150 North Las Vegas Boulevard, right in the Ogden building. And that's number two on the list. And I got to say, I'm so proud of the fact that of all of Las Vegas, the top two restaurants currently on Eater.com are located in downtown Las Vegas. Ready to get into this next segment with Eric Gladstone. I first met Eric when I was heading the kitchen at Evil Pie. He was working at that time with 1-7 Public Relations. So in a moment, Eric will be coming into the studio and we're going to hear all about these events. He worked on a really successful off-strip event last year called Vegas Unstripped. And we'll be back after these messages with Eric Gladstone here in the studio. You're listening to 99.7, The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411, live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. We are back, Foodie 411 with Vince Rotolo, live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. Guys, coming into the studio, we have the man, the myth, the mocker, Eric Gladstone. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Vincent. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh,
to
man.
Be here with you.
Listen,
Plaza.
Yeah, so we wanted to get right into these big events that we have coming to, you know, everyone off the strip, the food community there.
Right.
There's a really kind of close-knit culture of support. I think that's what kind of separates downtown Las Vegas from other areas. And how did you end up in Vegas?
Well, that's a good question. I actually ended up in Vegas due to the late Robin Leach, believe it or not.
Rest in peace to Robin Leach.
Rest in peace.
Amazing man.
I got the opportunity when I was living in Los Angeles and transitioning out of entertainment and trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. I was working for America Online really quickly. And I shifted over from working on their music pages to working on their travel pages, their city guides, it was called at the time. And we did Los Angeles and we also did Las Vegas out of the same offices, which were in Santa Monica, actually. So I was the low man on the totem pole. And because of that, they gave me this blog that this guy that they were working with named Robin Leach wanted to do. He was doing videos for them and he wanted to do a blog about Las Vegas as well. And they were like, well, we didn't hire him to do a blog. So you get to do right. this blog just to make him happy.
Sure.
So, so I started working with him on this blog and we managed to bring the hits up to 1 million a month. In
amazing.
A really short time.
And then what year was this?
This would have been 2005, 2006.
Okay, and so is that the time that you first arrived in the Las Vegas? Were you living here or how did
no,
you?
No, I had been out here a couple times before to do some stories, but that was the time when he said, and I'm not going to imitate his voice because everyone tries to do that.
Yeah, no,
he said, Eric,
yeah.
you have to come out here and see what's going on for real for us to be able to do this well. So I came out and hung with him, did a couple of weekends where he literally introduced me around town, which was a pretty amazing way to get an introduction.
Right,
to,
right.
And particularly to the culinary scene that he was really involved with and passionate. That's the first time I met Kerry Simon, for example, and I went to a lot of the top places on the Strip. First time I went to Spago here was with him. And that's really what got me interested in the culinary world here. And so I started going back and forth between here and L.A., almost on a weekly basis,
right.
definitely a monthly basis for almost 10 years. And then finally I realized that I was doing more here and could make more of a difference here.
Is that what kind of kept you? You kind of got sucked in to the world of food and beverage and entertainment here? Or what?
You know,
it's one thing, because people come here, like I've had a lot of friends that come from New York,
right?
They, you know, San Francisco, and they come to Vegas, and then they're here for a year or two. But here, how long have you been in Vegas? Like, it's been over a decade, right?
Yeah, I mean, going back and forth from L.A., well over a decade, full-time, 4 years.
And that's what people that, driving in on the road, right? You're coming to visit
right.
Vegas for the weekend.
I've done that road trip so many, hundreds of times.
And there's a whole world outside of the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
That we really want to showcase on this show.
Right.
And so tell us, when you're talking about off the Strip right
yeah.
now in Vegas today, what's the hottest restaurant off Strip?
Well, I'm going to be biased and say Esther's Kitchen because I work with them.
Well, no, a lot of people would agree with you.
I think it'd be hard to argue that they're not. They're certainly one of the hottest restaurants off the Strip
now. That's just because top five, right?
Okay, so along with Esther's Kitchen, the Kitchen at Atomic for sure,
uh-huh.
Sparrow and Wolf, Brian Howard is really pushing the envelope.
And there are Brian Howard and Sparrow, I've noticed, are a lot of, they're in a lot of top tens of all over town. Correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Even
absolutely.
Some top fives, arguably. Would
absolutely,
you say that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In terms of what he and his team are doing, in terms of creativity and just hospitality in general, he's doing a fantastic
job.
So
why does this happen? Why do you think so many Strip chefs or super talented chefs that could be, you know, in big rooms in huge hotels on the Strip, what's happening that they're coming off Strip and going out on their own?
So this is something that I saw developing, that's been developing for the last 4 or 5 years, maybe. And it's really interesting. When I first started coming here, obviously the Strip restaurant scene was really booming, and Las Vegas was talking about, you know, being a culinary center and all
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
And that was a point where the economics of the situation with the casinos were that they could build these amazing palaces to food, and they didn't necessarily need to be profitable. They just needed to attract people, gamblers and people on vacations
yep.
to come there. So they could really
sort of... It's more of a show than anything else.
Yeah,
so you're buying a ticket as a seat in that restaurant.
Exactly.
Yep.
So they could build these dream palaces. So that happened for a while. And then the economics of that shifted a little bit. And the the bean counters in the corporations of the Strip, and I don't have any axe to grind.
Some of those are my friends. Okay?
Yeah, no, I don't have any axe to grind. It's just they're publicly owned companies that, you know, they have to look at balance sheets. I get that, you know.
Right.
So at a certain point, they looked at things and they started saying, well, okay, it's great to build these palaces, but we need to, you know, we need to, this is real estate that needs to be profitable. So that sort of started to shift what restaurants were allowed to do on a creative level. At a certain point, the restaurant, the chefs, chef owners were basically told, do whatever
they
you want.
They wanted control.
Know, build the
right?
dreams. But do something
you
amazing.
You're going to get more control because at the end of the day, the artistry and the culinary world, right, for me in Vegas, it rivals any city in the world. And I'm from New York, and I see the talent there. But when you're going from a corporate-controlled environment into your own environment, that's where the creative juices can really flow.
Right.
And so, that's what draws me in, too.
Here's what's different about Las Vegas from other culinary cities. So there's a lot of culinary talent across the country and across the world, for sure. The difference in Vegas is that the chefs here not only have to bring a high level of execution, but they do it at a very high volume relative to other cities.
Huge volume.
And that's where chefs get trained at a very high level on the Strip. So now, to get back to your question before, what happened was a creativity started to be taken away, and the most ambitious of the chefs who were working on the Strip, some of which are going to be on the show today, started to say, yeah, you know, this is kind of like I feel like I'm faking the funk here. I'm just kind of losing the dream a little bit. And they started looking around, and off Strip, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't that exciting. It was basically just kind of another sort of Southwest, somewhat average town, you know, suburban town without, and the population, you know, even the people, a lot of people in the industry, they weren't that interested in anything that exciting. They just wanted to go home and do whatever, you know, neighborhood
places. But it shifted,
places.
Right? It shifted.
So it shifted because a lot of those people who were on the Strip said, you know what, I think I'm ready to do my own thing, and I want to find something that works here, and I want to build. They literally sort of collectively, there's been a handful of people here that just had that field of dreams attitude of if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And they just decided to build restaurants that were either more creatively ambitious or they were just more ambitious in terms of quality. They just sort of said, you know, I can do something at a higher quality and still do it less expensively than the Strip.
Exactly. So you're getting, and everybody, I really want to understand and just kind of focus on that one idea. It's mm-hmm. a way, it's more genuine, it's more authentic in terms of a dining experience off the Strip, but certainly the value is there. Like that $200 Strip dinner you'll get for $75 right off Strip.
Right. And so what's been amazing is that people visiting, especially from Southern California, because they're coming here in their cars, but also, you know, from other cities, they'll start to see these off-Strip restaurants in their top tens, whether it's Sparrow or Esther's or Lotus of Siam, which is, you know, almost legendary worldwide. They will all, you know, they're starting to realize that they can take an Uber, or they can Google Maps to this
place.
Exactly,
and it becomes accessible based on that technology. And so when I, you know, think about downtown, there was an amazing event that you did. You started Vegas Unstripped.
Yeah, we did the first Vegas Unstripped this year, which was a reaction to Uncorked by Bon Appetit. We really just wanted to get an event together that would show the critical mass of what was happening with independent
huge off-strip. Success. Now, was that the first of its kind, right?
Yes, it was. And we were very lucky that we put it together in 7 weeks, and we had a great success. We sold it out.
And is there another one in the works? Is there Vegas Unstripped Part 2 coming?
So, yeah, I can tell you officially now, this is probably the first time I've made it public, that, yeah, we will be coming back next year.
Vegas, you heard it here first, guys. Now, also, the Downtown Beer Festival, you're working on that as well? The Downtown
Brewfest? That's actually this weekend. If anyone's coming into town, you can check out the Downtown Brewfest. I helped a consult on the chefs coming in, including you.
Good Pie will be making pizza there.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, we have our truck, and we're driving around town, and so we crashed this party, and fortunately Eric was kind enough to like let us in. So thanks
for... So it's just, you know, it's one of the best beer events of the year.
And where can we get tickets to that?
You can go to downtownbrewfestival.com. Downtownbrewfestival.com. There's going to be 65 breweries, over 250 craft beers, five
250 craft beer venues, five chefs.
Yeah, it's a really great event downtown at
If you want to see Vincent Rotolo get drunk on beer, buy tickets to this event.
I'm a little scared about that.
I'll be drinking 250 beers to taste, and
I don't have to drink all 250.
All right, when we taste the beer, we swallow. We don't swirl and spit. Eric, thanks so much for coming in,
guys. Downtown, it's always great to see you. Yeah.
Downtown Brewfest, get your tickets.
Yeah, go
Eric
check it
Gladstone,
out.
And if you're really cool and you want to know what's going on in the food world, you can add Eric Gladstone as a friend on Facebook.
Sure, EC Gladstone.
EC Gladstone.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I guess, if you want
to
do that.
You can stalk him on Facebook. And also, what's really great is look at his event page, because the events on his page, you're probably not going to get into them, but it's cool to know that they're going on.
I hope you can get into them.
All right.
That's snobby.
That wraps up. Listen, 99.7. Highway Vibe. You're listening to The Foodie 411 with Vince Rotolo. We'll
May
be back.
May your traffic be smooth.
Drive safely. We're back on 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vince Rotolo with The Foodie 411. Coming into the studios, Justin Kingsley Hall has been known around town as a guy who just will burn you. And he's cooking with fire. The founder of Whiskey in the Wilderness, and also just got to work with Justin at the cookout at Life is Beautiful. Justin, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Vince. It's great to be here, buddy.
Thank you so much for coming down. You know, one of the things I'm fascinated by is the chefs who cook with fire. You know, I love myself working with fire. I come from a lineage in Sicily of blacksmiths in my family, and I discovered that recently. And so what... for you, because that's what kind of I first heard about you and started following you, and then I stalked you till you became my friend, because I was so enamored by the talent that you have and what you do cooking with live fire. And so how did you get involved in that?
You know, honestly, it was just steps in trying to figure out who you are as a chef and what makes you you and what's the best tools to cook with. And, you know, I'd been working here in Vegas and around fine dining and all these, you know, intricate dishes, and it just, I loved it, but it wasn't always just me, you know. It was much more about comfort food or simplistic and rustic. You know, and it, truth be told, I'm sitting there watching Netflix one night when it first comes out and Frances Malamud's cooking, and it just kind of clicked.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think I watched that episode 8 times.
And like, you're talking about a Chef's Table?
Yeah.
It's a series on Netflix called Chef's Table, and I remember there's an episode with Malamud, and he's cooking in South America?
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and it's just his whole style is this very out in nature, cooking with, you know, raw ingredients, you know, whole animals on crosses.
Wasn't he naked in one of those, though?
Not in the version I watched. Your late night Chef's Table there.
Yeah, there's a version of that. So the fire cooking, you got involved in that. And then what were some of the restaurants you were working in on the Strip?
When I came out to Vegas, I started working for my buddy Brian Howard at Comsa, which used to be in the Cosmopolitan.
Comsa Cosmo.
So, yeah, it was, you know, fine dining, French restaurant. I came out here, took my first opportunity there, and then they transferred me actually to West Hollywood, to the Comsa out there. So I kind of came into town quickly and moved out quickly.
So, like a lot of my friends, like I mentioned, you know, previously, the Vegas can be like this transient town, and then all of a sudden you can find yourself by one way, shape, or form in downtown Las Vegas. And there's a sense of community, and I think that people end up staying here, right? And so you live downtown.
Yeah, you know, primarily like the almost 7 years now I've been in Vegas, almost all of that has been living downtown.
But then there was big news back in April, right, when you came to take over the kitchen at Atomic, which Atomic is an iconic Vegas bar, and now they added on this restaurant element to it, and that's where... You know, you're the chef there, and just tell us a little bit about what that's like cooking and living downtown.
I mean, really, when I first moved to Vegas, his idea is like, you know, get away as soon as possible. I didn't see it as a place. I saw it as a place for my resume to be good.
Sure.
Knowledge and everything, but, you know, there wasn't, it was sitting in a desert, and it was a bunch of casinos, and I don't gamble, you know, so that wasn't a draw. So I was trying to find how to make this home for myself, and really... my wife, who actually we were roommates at the time, she took me up to Mount Charleston. You know, we went downtown cocktail room at the time, Artifice, you know, started showing me these places that were much more of like a regular base of customers, people that lived here, getting to know one another.
So for me, when I go to visit a city, I don't really want to go where tourists are going. And the places that you just mentioned, right, Artifice and Downtown Cocktail, that there's a huge mix of locals that go there. And so if you're listening and you're looking for some local hangouts, those are just two bars. So can you talk a little bit about the food at Atomic? And when you just get the freedom to kind of like, you know, be downtown living and cooking in the neighborhood, what inspires the menu at Atomic Kitchen?
The menu is structured around a couple of things. That, you know, the food is based off of where I've lived in the country and the people I've worked with in restaurants. So you get this bit of California cuisine, a lot of Latin American stuff in there from the chefs that I've worked with in the kitchens coming up. I lived in Florida, North Carolina, so you get the Southern touches and African influences. So really that's kind of the start of it. And it's meant to be, you know, a lot of it comfort food, rustic food, food that you could sit down and share with one another, and not small like little mezze plates, but I'm talking like more like families at a table, like passing a, you know, half a chicken and cutting it up. So the idea was to develop a menu in a place that people that lived in the neighborhood and here in town had to go downtown, that was meant for you to come and stay for 2-3 hours.
And you, I think you've done it, because I get sucked in. I go there and I look up and, you know, the whole experience takes you to a really amazing feeling. And that those are the things in restaurants that I really look. How do I feel when I'm here? And I think a lot of that vibe is going on downtown. But, you know, we can't really continue. I mean, so you're sitting here the whole time. You have a baby in your hands. I don't know if you guys... There's a, so can we talk about this? I mean, who do you have here?
It's my daughter, Mason.
So how old is Mason?
Mason's 8 days. Yeah, 8 days, so 9 days old right now.
We have a 9-day-old baby here in the studio, and I'm known for having the loudest mouth ever. And I feel like I'm about to wake her up everything I say. So I'm just kind of trying to whisper through this without...
Yeah, she does.
I just
does
get excited
good.
When I see Justin. And, I mean, this is amazing. So, well, congratulations on Mason. And then... Your older son, right? Your second child, Kingsley.
Just turned 2 the day after she was born.
So at age 2, he has a bit of a social media following, right? Can we tell me a little bit about this, how this happened?
So he's got an Instagram handle, Eating with Kingsley.
But by the way, when I start my day, I literally have to have coffee, and then I have to know where Kingsley's eating. It's weird because, like, he's 2 years old. But oh, yeah. He's already a culinary trendsetter, because I can't start my day without watching it.
I mean, Eating with Kingsley. My wife's met people. They're like, you don't know me, but I follow your son on social media, and I love him.
Wait, well, okay. If you're going to need security, I know. Because Rick's guys at the pawn shop, right, their securities are always around. If you need extra security, if a guy to walk around, because Kingsley could be getting stalkers out there, let us know.
You know, actually, it was having Kingsley that came with that whole idea of community in Vegas. That I didn't really necessarily feel. It wasn't a home. But at 4 days old, we had him at the farmer's market. You know, a week old, we had him at Other Mama for dinner. And he's been to Bouchon, Bardot, right. Harvest. And the chefs and everybody just kind of really take him in. I'd go to these restaurants like District 1, and they would take him for me. You know, they'd pick him up, carry him around the restaurant. And suddenly,
that's special.
Suddenly there's this family kind of taking care of the kid. And then... you know, when I was leaving, I helped open Sparrow and Wolf, and when I was getting ready to leave there, and we were talking about our next steps, we had the idea of moving out of town until October 1 happened, and suddenly it was like just family, everybody being like, do you need help with Kingsley, where can you go? And that was the special part of, again, living downtown was, you know, I have in every direction somebody that will help my family out.
It's amazing, and you've been obviously, here she is, Mason. All right, just in time. So I just want to mention, because you know you bring up October 1st and the events that happened. It was just the 1-year anniversary there. And, you know, I was living in New York downtown, right, very close to 9/11, and went through that. And, you know, that feeling of community and togetherness and, we're going to get through this and help each other was so alive here in Vegas. And it's one of the things that made me kind of fall in love with being here all over again and in a different way.
And, I mean, you think it'd make you want to move away, but it makes you want to hunker in even tighter.
Yeah, and you know, and those are some of the types of people that are driving the culinary scene, you know, downtown. It's just a sense of togetherness and a sense of unity. And so what's happening with you guys this weekend? Anything fun coming up? Because I love your brunch menu. Is there anything going on that we want everyone to know about?
You know, we've always got some kind of beer festival or something going on at Atomic. Watching our social media, really kind of see different stuff. And a big thing for us that I'm part of is in February, we'll be doing Whiskey in the Wilderness again.
Whiskey in the Wilderness, and they have an Instagram page where you can try to take a look at what's going on with
Whiskey in the Wilderness LV. We also have a same for the website. Any of those kind of areas, you can see when the dates are coming.
This event always sells out, and it seems like it's like the hottest off-strip and on-strip chefs that are working, all cooking with fire. So guys, check out whiskeyinthewilderness.com and look for upcoming tickets available in the near future. You got to just follow those guys. And Justin, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
For coming down. You're one of the most inspirational guys, just not just as a culinary chef, but as a human being. Like, you're such a good guy to be around. And we're gonna be back after these messages. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. You're back on 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vince Rotolo with the Foodie 411, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. Oh, I gotta tell you, this guy coming in.
This guy.
He's a mover, he's a shaker, he's an artisan bread baker. It's James Trees from Esther's Kitchen, y'all, in the building.
What's up,
man? What's up, James?
Ah, dude, it's nice to be here, man.
I can't believe this guy has time to even be here. You can't, first of all, Esther's Kitchen, you can't get a seat in this restaurant. I would talk about, like, to tell everybody where it is, but, like, sorry if you're driving in from Cali. You may have already heard about Esther's Kitchen. You cannot get a table there. James, can we give out your cell phone number?
Sure.
Should we? I'm kidding. Actually, you can get some seats, but it's a very hot restaurant. James,
thank you.
Congrats on all your success.
Thank you. We're extremely lucky, and we don't take it for granted how very busy we are. And I complain about it constantly. At the same time, I knock on wood so much, I had to change hands with my middle finger when I knock on things because my middle finger on my right hand hurts.
But you know what's cool is, man, that you're a born and raised Vegas guy. Yeah. You came up and then you traveled and took this culinary adventures that were in California, other places. Yeah. Right. And so tell us a little bit, because I think the story of the name of the restaurant is where I'd like to kind of just get into.
Cool.
Can you tell us about the inspiration for the name Esther's?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I grew up on the east side of Las Vegas, which isn't exactly the Beverly Hills side of Las Vegas. My mom is a teacher and my dad's a musician, so obviously we were rolling in cash.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, artist.
Right. So really what it came down to was my Aunt Esther was always the one who, you know, come Christmas time, made sure that we had presents under the tree. She was always the one, you know, that really took care of us when it came to, like, the financial side of things. And then, you know, when it came time for me to go to culinary school, she was the one who ultimately wrote that last little check that allowed me to pay for my room and board. And I couldn't have done it without her. It just would not have been a possibility for someone like me from Las Vegas, even though I had already been working in the hotels, to actually be able to afford something that cost more than Harvard.
Sure. And what an amazing tribute to your aunt.
Yes.
To name the restaurant after her. And so tell us about the food at Esther's Kitchen. I guess the website says it's seasonal Italian. I mean, right. To me, that's like, you know, meatballs. So yeah. That's what I do. But, yeah. You know, tell us a little more about what exactly the type of food you're doing.
All right. So we call it seasonal Italian soul food, really. The
soul food part. Yes. That's important. Yeah.
There's definitely like the things that we do are not fancy. I don't like overly dressed up food. I think what we do is very straightforward. We do make meatballs, and we make spaghetti and meatballs is like one of our top-selling dishes.
Right.
You know, like the cacio e pepe, the bucatini alla matriciana.
So it's handmade pasta.
Everything's made in-house.
And then there's some entrees that are Italian-inspired entrees. I'm a huge porchetta fan, and I know that the porchetta there is one of the my guilty pleasures.
Right.
And I often go and get fresh bread. And so how did you, I mean, it seems like, you know, you could have gone a lot of different directions, right? What led you to Italian? Right. Like, your last name's Trees. I mean, did you have Italian in the family, or why Italian food?
I know it pisses you off because I'm not Italian.
No, it doesn't. I love it.
No.
Wait, because your food is better than mine.
I don't know.
And I'm not. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I mean, like, so.
It's a true story, guys. James Trees' food is better than your Nona's, and it will piss you off because he'll outcook your grandma.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, well, you know, your grandma doesn't have, you know, a $300,000 kitchen that she installed.
I know. It's awesome.
But, you know, so we use a variety of different techniques, and we use a lot of the base recipes that we use come from my best friend Alfio's family.
Do you know what region of Italy was his family
so
from?
So his dad was from a little town called Melfi, not Amalfi, Melfi.
And what region is Melfi in?
And it's actually by Amalfi.
It's on the Amalfi coast. Okay, so southern Italian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, like, our pomodoro sauce is his dad's pomodoro sauce. That, like, when I think of that sauce, the only difference is we use basil and his dad uses parsley.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of funny, you know, like the peppers that are with that porchetta that she loves so much, that's his dad's recipe for peppers.
And how long has the restaurant been open now?
We're just coming up on a year. I think we're like 10 and a half months right now.
So 10 and a half months. I mean, you've won a ton of awards. The list is too long, but you've, like, won every award there is to win. Yeah. And it's just been outstanding. It's a great contribution to the Arts District. And Main Street's changing. What are your thoughts about what's happening on Main Street? So it's like right between. So what are the main areas? Is it from Charleston to, what is it? From Charleston to Las Vegas Boulevard? Or to Oakey?
Charleston to Oakey. And then really along Main Street is really coming around. The most important thing about all those awards that we won is I threw every one of them in the garbage can.
Well,
like, no, I'm being dead serious here. Like, everyone on this PR thing, and they,
I would go dig those out and put them on my shelf. Tell me where you threw those away.
Because you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, you don't earn awards in the first year. They don't count. You know, what we did is we opened a restaurant that we thought was going to be very good, and we've executed and we grind every single day. Now, in 5 years,
I'm fired up. I'm going to throw my award away.
Good, you should.
Well,
you
know? I want it from you, right?
Yeah, beat me. Yeah, hell, I'll help you.
No, we're talking about back on May 5th with Chris Decker, James Trees, myself. Yeah. We have the Back of House Brawl, and that's coming up back this fall. So we'll get more information on that later on. But all kidding aside, James, did you really throw your awards in the trash?
Every one of them.
Well.
Every plaque, every, like, thing they brought to the restaurant.
I kind of respect that, but at the same time, I, like,
I mean, like, know. Everyone also framed theirs and put theirs up on the wall with the picture of a chef looking over some, like, beautiful plate of food. And then, you know, we have a couple of rules in the restaurant. Number one is don't die. Rule number two is don't break your arm jerking yourself.
Well, remember those two rules, guys. It's very important. Yeah. Culinary wisdom from James Trees himself. Now, James, I say this, you know, I'm very, very excited. I don't know you have a lot of stuff coming up. Esther's Kitchen, less than a year old, and you have multiple projects in the works.
Right.
Is there anything that you can talk about on air that's coming out that you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're going to be doing something with
I heard it was hush hush. That's why I didn't want to say anything.
There's a couple of different things that are hush hush, but, like, you know, I think secrets were made to be told because at the end of the day, everyone finds them out anyway. So my thought process is we're going to be doing something at the Stratosphere on the 108th floor.
The Stratosphere, 108th floor, and is this a done deal?
Yeah, this is a done deal.
And, like, it's in the works. Yeah. What's the name of the new restaurant?
So it's going to be called 108 Eats by James Trees, and.
Wait, they put your name on the restaurant now. That's how famous James is getting.
Now
he went from Esther's Kitchen, honoring his aunt, and now he's so good. His name is on the menu. His name is on the restaurant now. That's when you know you made it.
You know, your name's on that menu too.
Oh, wait, my name is on your menu.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's awesome. What's going on?
Our Italian sandwich that we do in the restaurant is called the Chen's. It's named after Vince.
The Chen's.
The Chen's.
I love it.
So when we did the one for 108th floor, we were like, you know, like, because Vinny's always like, hey, we're out here. So, like,
I do say that. We out here.
So when we put on the menu, we put like the Chen's. And then on for the 108th floor, it goes, hey, we up here.
That's cool. All right. So now I'm going to do a James Trees pizza at Good Pie.
There you go.
We'll try to figure that one out. It's going to, if there was a James Trees pizza, what would be on it, James?
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not.
All the meats.
No.
No.
No, no. Some of the.
All the veg.
No.
No.
Is there anything
meat,
else?
Meat and veg. The supreme.
Right. Let's
supreme
see.
Pizza.
You know what I really love, though? You know the thing? It took us 9 months at the restaurant to put a pizza on the menu that had meat and cheese and tomato sauce on it.
Well, congratulations. I got that done first day, so I don't know. But then you're doing something right because you're opening all these restaurants. So besides, now the Stratosphere restaurant, right? 108?
Yeah, 108
Eats. 108
and, Eats.
And then is there another restaurant you're doing?
Yeah, we're doing another one out in Tivoli. And that's going to be called Ada's. And we're doing an awesome ice
Ada's.
Cream. Ada's. A-D-A-S.
And Tivoli Village in Summerlin, another off-strip kind of culinary destination out there for the Summerlin crowd. And I'm really excited. So if we want to follow what's happening with James Trees in these new restaurants, where can we find more information, James?
I think the best place to do that is our Instagram page. And our Facebook page.
It's Esther's Kitchen?
Esther's Kitchen LV.
Esther's Kitchen LV on Instagram, on Facebook. If I want to get a reservation at Esther's Kitchen, is there a way to reserve online, or do I just have to call Vince Rotolo's personal cell phone?
Just, I mean, book it on Open Table. We really, you know, we love it. You can check out the menu on our website. And if you have questions, shoot me an email, man. I'm the guy who actually answers all those emails.
And what's your email address, James?
It's james@esterslv.com.
james@esterslv.com. Yeah. Email James for all his secrets, all his recipes, and to try to get a table reservation at Esther's Kitchen. Thank you so much, James, for coming in. This guy is awesome. He's a great person, very driven, very passionate, and his food is super delicious. Hit up Esther's Kitchen LV on Instagram. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back on 99.7. Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. This is Vince Rotolo with the Foodie 411. You're back listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo with the Foodie 411, giving you that look of Las Vegas from the inside perspective, looking at downtown and off-strip culinary. I want to thank my guest today, Eric Gladstone. Check him out at the Downtown Beer Fest on Saturday, October 20th. Justin Kingsley Hall of Atomic Kitchen, the kitchen at Atomic. You can follow Eating with Kingsley on Instagram, Justin Kingsley Hall, Atomic Kitchen. Also want to thank James Trees from Esther's Kitchen. Look out for these new exciting projects coming up with James Trees. And also thank you, James Trees, for the porchetta. I'm going there for that porchetta, getting in that love. Also want to thank Urbani Truffle for giving us that truffle oil special. Each guest today got organic Italian white truffle oil, compliments of Urbani Truffles. And we'll see you guys next Friday for the Foodie 411. This is Vincent Rotolo, live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe.